During this season of Lent, it is always good for us to have the big picture in mind, and in order to understand the big picture and the mystery of the season of Lent, we must understand what is transpiring in today's Gospel. For our Lord, we know, came to preach and to preach the truth, and that preaching of the truth would arouse the envy of the Pharisees and the scribes, who were denouncing him as a revolutionary to King Herod. And so, we too in this day and age see that Christ in our very age is being denounced to the leaders as a revolutionary, someone who is opposed, as it were, to something that is a good, and it is something that we must understand if we are to understand. For indeed, envy is a very dangerous enemy of the spiritual life, and it was the envy of the Pharisees and scribes that would ultimately culminate in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so, in today's Gospel, we learn that this is the time of fulfillment. And so, what is it, this time of fulfillment? It is none other than the advent of the Messiah and the kingdom of heaven in human life. And so, we must understand what this mystery of the kingdom of God and the presence of the Messiah means for humanity and means for our time and will mean for all times to come until he comes to judge the living and the dead. What had been foreshadowed by signs and wonders in the Old Covenant, that which was shut to man for thousands of years, for generations, was by the preaching death and grace of Christ open and unclosed by him. And so, in today's first reading, we read of the time of the flood and the promise that God would no longer, as it were, crush the sin of humanity by a flood, but rather he would crush sin by the flood of his grace in our time. And so, our Lord instructs us, and indeed the very first words of his public ministry are to repent, that we may detest our sins we have committed, and to be determined to amend our lives for the better. Saint Jerome says of this mystery of repentance that he who desires the joy of a holy conscience swallows down the bitterness of penance. But we must always and everywhere understand penance in light of the big picture, in light of the mission of Christ and his most holy mother, or we will fall into the greatest deception of our modern era. And that deception is rampant in our time and in our age. It has wormed its way into every aspect of human life, and indeed, even into that institute in which it has no place. It has wormed itself into the very mystical body of Christ. And so, if we are to understand what is the true penance of Lent, then we must understand what is the error and what is at stake. The deception of our modern era is that it cleverly prescinds from the direct issue at stake. It does not, as it were, address the direct question, religion or no religion. It tries to prescind from it, and it tries to do so by an old trick, a demonic device of opposing Christianity in the name of Christianity itself. And this is rampant in our time, and it is rampant in our age, and it has one purpose and one purpose only, to seduce and to lead the masses of people from the love and fidelity that all human hearts should strive for and all human hearts should seek, by substituting a real and positive good in her place, a good that the Church herself approves of and indeed even consecrates. And we must understand what this good is that is opposed to Christianity in the name of Christianity. And indeed, the Church is the defender and the representative of the supernatural. That is, she and she alone manifests the divine on the earth. Who would oppose her cannot, as it were, oppose her with anything divine, for it is only entrusted to the Church to be the safeguard of the divine. Only within Holy Mother Church, and by Holy Mother Church, we specifically mean the Holy Roman Catholic Church. She and she alone is the possessor of the divine order, and she alone has been entrusted to dispense that order till the end of time. Outside of her, there is no divine order, and we must be thoroughly and totally convinced of that. For who, as it were, would oppose her, cannot oppose her with anything divine. It must oppose her with something else. And so, we see that the world opposes Holy Mother Church with that which the Church herself blesses. For she cannot be opposed with anything that is not divine. And so, a positive must be opposed to her. And there is only one positive that can be imposed, that can be opposed to the divine order, that is man himself, or is what is commonly called in our day and age, simply the human. The enemies of Christ, and hence authentic Christianity, must oppose Christ and Christianity either with man or with nothing. And since it is foolish to think that man can be laid astray with nothing, then Christ must be opposed with man himself. Because hatred is a permanent principle of reaction against Christ that is unnatural and always short-lived. And so the bulk of humanity, not being of a malicious spirit or of a malicious disposition, cannot be inspired by the principle of hate. They must be inspired by a counter good, a good that is a good enough, as it were, to inspire them, because the human heart in and of itself seeks and needs something positive to love and to die for. And so, in our modern age and in our modern spirit, man is opposed to Christ. And indeed, we see the very clever deception. For in opposing man in and of himself to Christ, man is being imposed to the God-man, that is, the one who truly manifests to us human life. And so, we see, as it were, this take its mode in many ways. We must submit to the supremacy of the state above the supremacy of the Church, or we must submit to the supremacy of human feelings and emotions rather than to the doctrine of Christ. And so everything must be guided and driven by the merely human. And what ultimately is the practical ramifications of such a system? We can see it most clearly in the homes of modern man, where children have become the manipulators of their parents and the tyrannical rulers of the home, and hence the tyrannical rulers of the world. Why? Because the world is driven by irresponsibility and the pursuit of pleasures. And so if we are to enter into the spirit of penance, we must understand that its purpose is a reformation of the whole human family, but not any reformation. Reformation in Christ, that is, to transform all human families into that holy human family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And without that, then we fall to the subtle trap. And what is the subtle trap that we are fallen into? And indeed, we even seem sometimes to grow during the season of Lent. That is the trap of mourning over our sins. And before we rebel, let us understand what is meant by one of the great churchmen who pointed out this error. Mourning over our sins takes precedence over the suffering which our Lord and Savior underwent on account of them. And that is a very, very subtle difference, but an essential difference. What happens when we are mourning over our sins? We fall into the trap of modern man. We compare our fasting with the fasting of others. We count what this one is eating, what that one is eating. How much does this one do? What does that one do? Always and everywhere, comparing and contrasting our experience to someone else's experience and judging them always according to that icon that we have set up as the icon of true humanity, ourselves, not Christ. And that is why during the season of Lent, the primary penance and the most difficult penance the human soul can endure is, as it were, reflection on Christ and his sufferings, so that we mourn our sins because of what they did to our Savior, not because what they do to us, but what they did to the God-man who loved us so much that his Father would send him to the world and not spare him even death, the tragic death on the cross. God is the only begotten Son of the Father, and he put aside his glory to submit to being despised, to be cruelly treated, and to put to death by those whom he had made. And that is the greatest penance we can begin to endure during this season of Lent, so that we no longer, as it were, judge according to our own experience, according to our own feelings, according to our own emotions, according to our own understanding of the spiritual life. And we see that always. What did you give up for Lent? Oh, I don't know. What did you give up? Comparing and contrasting. If we are truly penitential during the season of Lent, we would have one answer at our lips when we are asked that question. None of your business. None of your business. Because we will truly be doing all things for Christ. And so, we must understand this if we are to try to acquire that which is absolutely necessary in the Christian life. Meditation. And indeed, we often complicate meditation. We often make it something that it is not. Meditation is a simple thing for the human soul. Indeed, it almost seems to be natural to us. For men always are meditating. Meditating on how to do this, on how to do that. But unfortunately, that meditation is generally and always corrupted. And hence, it does not build the kingdom of man, but it builds the kingdom of Satan. And it makes us the pamperers and destructors of our children. Because we do not hold them up to the ideals of Christ. We are always worrying about feelings and emotions, not worrying about formation, transformation into Christ. We are not allowing our children to take the ordinary risk that is necessary for their development as human souls. And so we send off men whom we think are men to be fathers of families who are always and everywhere remaining boys, adolescents, trying to enjoy the pleasures of this life, not entering into the experience of Christ's suffering because we do not meditate upon them. And so meditation is simply the thinking habitually and constantly of him, that is, our Savior, and his deeds and his sufferings, having him before our minds as the one we contemplate, the one we worship, the one we speak to, when we rise and when we lay down, when we eat and when we drink, when we are at home or abroad, when we work or when we walk, or when we run or when we rest, or when we are alone or in the presence of others, always Christ. And if we can acquire this spirit of meditation, then sin disappears because our actions will always, as it were, have them in conformity to the actions of Christ, who tells us very clearly what is the essence of his life. I did not come to crush the sinner, but that he may have salvation. And when we get involved in this back and forth, wondering, this one more spiritual than I am? Is that one more spiritual than I am? We destroy the work of Christ, and hence we destroy the human family. And so, in this month that begins today, the month of March, let us dedicate it to truly acquiring those dispositions of Saint Joseph, the head of the Holy Family, who always and everywhere constantly reflected upon him whom he knew was to come, and in his humility sought to bow out of the mystery when he saw it transpiring, to which he was reminded by an angel that God had foretold of him also, who was to be the head of the Holy Family. And so he was always thinking of Christ, and that is why he was able to defend Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary, because he was always thinking of them, and he discerned that it was not time for Herod to lay hands on the sacrifice. And so he outfoxed the fox, or as our Lord properly described him, as the vixen, to indicate all the vices that his mentality was perpetrating on human society. All the vices that, as the leader of the nation, he was transforming the children of his nation to follow and to practice. Our life is a life of suffering, not our sufferings, but the sufferings of Christ. And insofar, and as indeed PSE has called us into those sufferings, then we are true lovers of the Savior. But it is not for us to determine to what depth and to what level Christ has called us as individual members of his body into his suffering. That is the realm of the supernatural. That is the realm of Christ and his most holy mother. It is not for us to judge and to discern. For often we judge and discern not according to what is really transpiring in the soul, but according to what we believe should be transpiring in the souls of others. Not what Christ and his mother believes, but what we believe. And so we are constantly disunifying the human family, because we never, like Saint Joseph, reflect upon the real mystery of our salvation, the mystery in which the God-man took upon humanity to show us the height that grace can transform us to and what we are truly to aspire, that mystery that was always before the mind in the heart of Saint Joseph. And so he would carry out to the highest order that mission entrusted to him, the protection of the life of Christ and of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the soul of the believer. That is why he is the patron and protector of both the family and the church, because he knew there is no life in the human soul unless it is a life that strives and seeks the sufferings, not of themselves, but insofar as those sufferings can be united to the sufferings of Christ. And every time we try to compare, what did you give up for Lent? I don't know, what did you give up? We diminish the sufferings of Christ, and we communicate to our children to pursue the pleasures of this world, not the pleasure they were created to enjoy, the vision of God for all eternity, but the perversion of our modern world and the destruction of their souls. And that is the big picture. And that is why it is necessary absolutely for us to not focus so much on what we give up, but what we have lost, and to try to gain it back. For we all know that we fall into these faults, failings, and sins, as Scripture says, 7 times a day. We all know it. But yet, we are always trying to transfer it to each other. We judge the reactions of others to our actions as the cause of our action. Always seeking, through envy, to diminish the life of Christ in the world. That is what the Pharisees and scribes did. Oh, he came to put me out of business. And every human being, whether they have the highest responsibility in their land or the lowest, is always seeking to exalt himself over other human beings. And yet, the Church teaches us very clearly that there is only one thought that can unify the human family, and that is the thought of Christ. That he must be in our minds and in our hearts. And if he is not, then we are striving after windmills and phantoms, because we cannot gain what the human family was called to acquire, that is, the Christ. And so, in the name of a good, humanity, man, we have lost the real good, the God-man. And so, we must try, especially during this season of Lent, by trying to always, and it is difficult, there isn't one saint or doctor and father of the church who has a sentimental view of the spiritual life. Indeed, St. Alphonsus de Liguori says flat out that if a soul tells you it's always in rapture when it enters into prayer or into the Christian life, there is something wrong with that soul. He talks about the boredom of the spiritual life, which we know to be an effect of original sin. And he said, God does not judge us by that. He judges us by whether we give to him what we have promised to give to him. He doesn't judge it based on our feelings and emotions. He won't judge one parent on whether their children always felt good. He will judge them on whether those children were raised as citizens for heaven. Period. He doesn't want to see all the lessons in music only insofar as they sanctified a gift that he had given the child. He doesn't want to see all the activities that the child was involved in except if they were part of his Christian formation. He wants to see that child in heaven. And no child can enter into heaven unless that child learns from those responsible, that is, every one of the adults present in this church and in the world. Only if they learn from them the value of suffering and the detriment of pampering will that child have an opportunity for heaven and the parent, period. And without that driving us, then we are all on the way to destruction. And we are quite literally on the brink of the precipice. And we need, as it were, to think of the sufferings of Christ, to truly understand that as members of his mystical body, we are called to the same slaughter he underwent. Because it was the slaughter of love. And if a child isn't permitted to take certain risks in their development, then may God help us when they become the parents of our children. Because the violence of today will seem like joy compared to the violence of tomorrow. Enthusiasm is not the way of Christians. Suffering is. Christ is. And it is high time the members of the mystical body really came to understand that. Because our world is collapsing around us because Christ's love is not only not present, but is being driven out every moment. And it's being done so because Christians have become pacifists in the face of Satan, who is nothing compared to Christ and his mother, who cowers at the very mention of their name. And you can add to that Joseph. He cowers. And we're afraid. We're afraid to mention those names in public. We're absolutely, positively afraid because we have been pampered and been taught. If we don't offend, we won't be offended. You cannot be a Christian and not expect to be offended and to be offensive. It doesn't mean we deliberately try to do so, but if you're going to speak of Christ, then you're going to be opposed. If you're going to speak of his love and his sufferings, you are going to be opposed. What they did to me, they will do to you. I am always a scandal to the worldly thinking, is what our Lord told us. But don't worry about it. If you love your neighbor as I love them, then the worst thing they can do to you is take away the life of the body. But don't fear it, for I have crushed the doors of death. I have absorbed death into the divine, and indeed I have made it the very portal by which you enter into eternal life, if it is a death rooted in Christ. And so let us truly strive by always thinking of our Lord and his sufferings, why we are called to suffer, and that our sufferings are not our sufferings. They are the sufferings of Christ extended in the mystical body until the end of time. And when we don't embrace them, we try to usurp to ourselves what is Christ's suffering. When we try to escape our sufferings, we try to usurp to ourselves what is Christ's. All that is good is his. And if it is good, it must be given back to him. And so, if we want, as it were, to diminish the tyrannical rule of the children who run this present world, let us do it in the manner of the God-man, by suffering for them, even at the point of our deaths, so that we truly can cooperate in the mission of the child and the mother to renew the face of this earth, which is in so dire need of renewal. And no renewal can come through the exaltation of man at the expense of the exaltation of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Fructum ventris tuum.